to live righteously.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It's episode number 308, wherein we will talk with D.C. Cathro. Who's that, you may ask? Well, he is the writer of a show called The Book of Merman. Thank you for being here, D.C.
Oh, my pleasure.
Now, full disclosure, I have been nerding out about this for probably, I want to say maybe 6 months ago when I first saw something about it in the news. We reported it in our articles of news that we do, a weekly kind of Mormon report of news. And I thought, man, the Book of Merman, that sounds cool. That'd be cool to bring to Salt Lake. That'd be cool to chat with the guy who did that. And now we are. Thank you.
I am happy to be here. Just to clarify, though, I'm actually the co-writer.
Okay. So are you in charge of the punctuation, or were you in charge of the idea?
The show was originally written by a composer named Leo Schwartz here in Chicago. And it was mounted a couple times, but pretty much they kept giving him feedback saying that the songs were fun, but the book needed work. And so he brought me in to rewrite the book, which I did, and the rest is history, as they say.
So talk about that. You and Leo Schwartz, talk about where he got the idea from, and then tell people what the Book of Merman is all about.
Okay, well, he was, I think, chatting with a friend of his, and there was one of the Ethel Merman movies or shows or something going on, and it was back when sort of the Book of Mormon was a still big deal. I guess it still is, but his friend said, wouldn't that be a fun name for a show, the Book of Merman? And Leo just thought, maybe. But then the more he thought about it, the more he thought, I could actually really come up with something for this. And so he set out and wrote the book and the score. And it played a couple times in Chicago. And then he brought me in to rewrite the book, and it's played a few more places. It's running off-Broadway right now. We just had a remount here in Chicago that I directed that closed last month, and it's been released for licensing rights through stage rights coming up soon. We just went through and signed all the contracts and submitted all the materials. But anyway, the Book of Merman is about two Mormon missionaries who knock on Ethel Merman's door.
And tell people, if there's anyone who's listening to this that maybe doesn't know who Ethel Merman is.
Ethel Merman was a big, brassy Broadway diva who starred in Gypsy, Call Me Madam, a lot of TV specials and movies here and there. She's sort of one of those big Broadway icons, like Mary Martin and Carol Channing. She was on The Muppets. She was on The Love Boat.
It's definitely one of those characters that you see and you go, oh, yeah, okay, Ethel Merman. Maybe the name didn't bring it to me. That's blasphemy as far as I'm concerned. But if for some reason you didn't see that, you would see her and go, oh, okay, Ethel Merman.
It could happen. And that's the thing, with the show, you could actually enjoy the show, even if you don't know Ethel Merman, because as we find out, one of the missionaries knows who she is and the other one does not. She's really iconic for being a big Broadway diva in a lot of classic shows.
It seems like such a fascinating idea, that Leo had, where he's like, oh, yeah, that could be kind of fun, plays with the words. But the other thing that is fascinating to me is that the Book of Merman, obviously a play on the Book of Mormon, has not played in Utah.
Well, not yet.
Yeah.
Now that the show is going to be available for licensing, I have no doubt. We've already had a couple of different theater companies in Utah contact the company about mounting a production. It's played in St. Louis and Washington, D.C. and here in Chicago. And like I said, it's still playing off-Broadway even as we speak.
On off-Broadway, New York, just to clarify, yeah?
Yes, New York City.
Yeah. So where do you come at this? Are you a member of the church? Have you known members of the church?
I was raised Mormon. I have six brothers and sisters, and I grew up in the Washington, D.C. area, went to the Suitland Ward, So I was a Mormon all the way up through college. They didn't really have a Mormon church when I went to college. I probably would have kept with it more. but I still follow a lot of the teachings, but I'm lapsed.
Is there an interesting sort of connection then with you and the show?
Well, there were a lot of things when they brought me in to sort of that I sort of said, oh, that would never, ever happen. That would never come out of a Mormon's mouth or things like that. and it's been really fun, too, because when the show was being done up off Broadway, when we were in the rehearsal process and everything, the production stage manager, her name was Tracy, was Mormon as well. And so we would swap Mormon stories here and there. and I still have, you know, some of my family members are still Mormons. And my niece is actually living in Utah. She's living in Provo. And she is a devout member and also a devout thespian. So she's going to be super excited once the show does get mounted up in Salt Lake.
She's going to the Y, I presume?
Yes.
Going to BYU? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And theater major.
Of course. Well, is she one that could play the character of Ethel Merman, or maybe not in her wheelhouse?
She's about as non-Ethel Merman as you can get. She weighs about 12 pounds soaking wet, and she's not old enough.
For people that have seen the Book of Mormon musical, they definitely will recognize some things within this. But I wonder, does it have the heart, the kind of takeaway? I know when I saw it, I sort of saw the Book of Mormon, not only because I was interested in it, I myself being a theater person, but also I wanted to see the treatment of the church. I wanted to see, you know, what everybody was talking about. But I was surprised as I came away and went, yeah, okay, I like the message of that.
Book of Mormon, it's surprisingly, it's pro-faith. It's you know, you would imagine it being such an irreverent show that they would just sort of tear religion apart in general. But it doesn't. It really kind of embraces, you know, faith as a concept and holding on to that. And so that I thought was really surprising to me as well. This show, I can say, is not nearly as hardcore.
Tell me what you mean by that.
Well, the Book of Mormon musical gets very R-rated. I'll put it that way. Uh-huh. And the Book of Mormon is a PG. In fact, there's a whole song about Mormon cuss words.
A fetch, like, a frick, a flip.
Exactly.
It's pretty fun for me to, when I first discovered it, I have like a Google news catcher, right, that has some keywords and it sends me anything that the internet finds about different terms. And that was how I first heard about it. And I was like, what is this magnificence? And then I started reading about it and it's like, oh. And then to find out now that it's playing off Broadway and having the ability to be produced in different places. I interrupted you as I was as I asked for synopses. So two Mormon missionaries and Ethel Merman.
Well, one of them is a huge Broadway fan and starts kind of geeking out about it. The other one is much more focused on the mission and trying to figure out how this could be Ethel Merman when she died back in the 80s. So it's a delightful romp. It's actually, you know, it's a fun, you know, it's not deep, heavy Ibsen or anything. It's just a good time, but it does have that sort of message about being happy with who you are and chasing your dreams, etc. So
was there a like a homecoming a little bit for you? I'm sure you had to study a little bit within the faith. You mentioned that you're sort of lapsed. Was there kind of a feeling of fondness? Maybe not the return to faith, but like, this all is so very familiar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And plus, while I was directing it, I had to go and track down, like, the Books of Mormon and the name tags and things like that for the costumes. And so I was talking with missionaries again. I actually, I moved to Chicago a couple of years ago, And so I haven't really had the missionaries visit here, except when I was at work. Uh-huh. Come by the store, but I work at a shop. But before I moved here, the missionaries would come by regularly, and we'd hang out, and they would do their thing, and I would. It was one of those things where I've never really like completely dropped away, but just don't go anymore. But I still have, you know, Mormon friends, and we're really, our whole family is very open to having the missionaries come, especially because I've got brothers and nieces and nephews that have gone on missions. And my mom is very much like, I want to treat the missionaries the way I would like my family to have been treated when they were on their mission. We have them over for dinner or just to, you know, hang out. Oh, here's a funny story. I'm going to tell you a funny story.
Please.
So I was acting in the musical Zombie Prom.
Okay.
If you're familiar with it, but uh-huh. You should be, because it's so much fun. And I invited the missionaries to come and see the show, because we were having a show on Halloween, and they got permission, which surprised me. And the missionaries won the costume contest. They won $50.
Good for them.
I know, right?
That's awesome. You know, it's one of those things, and I'll tell you this story. I've shared this here in the Cultural Hall before, but I'll share it with you. I'm sure it was a thing where the mission president just didn't know. When I was serving my mission, I served in Cleveland, Ohio, and I found that there was a member of the church who had graduated from BYU who was with the touring cast of Miss Saigon. And And so I asked the mission president, I said, hey, listen, the lead in the show is an active member of the church. Can I go see it? He said, what's the show? I said, Miss Saigon. Now, admittedly, this makes it sound like I knew exactly what I was getting into. I didn't necessarily know either. But I was sitting down and the first scene with the heat is on in Saigon. It's essentially topless women. And so me and my companion were just sitting there going, all right, okay. The heat is on in Saigon. Let's do this.
Yeah, that's why I was really surprised they got permission to see a show called Zombie Prom.
Sure, it's a different thing nowadays, right? We have to let people experience those things and then just become permanent.
Yeah, I think it might be a little regional thing too, because that was back in Maryland, and I think the missionaries out here, I think they're much more strict on them in Chicago than they are back in Maryland.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Hey, this is Dan, the Laptop Man from PC Laptops. The 2019 PC Laptops SMT2 laptop has arrived just in time for back to school. It's crafted from high-quality aluminum, powered by a super powerful Intel quad-core processor. It's hand-built right here in the USA in Salt Lake City, Utah. It's so powerful, it'll be your best friend helping you get through school or running your business. My goal was to find a laptop that performed like a $2,000 laptop for under $1,000, and I found it with the PC Laptops SMT2. I've got a limited batch right now for $999. That's right, $999. And it comes with a lifetime service guarantee. You don't have to call some 800 number in Chumbawamba. You'll get real human beings face-to-face to take care of you forever for free. So just get in any one of our locations right now and grab a lifetime warranty laptop for $999 while supplies last. Check us out at PCLaptops.com. PC Laptops, we love you.
Hey, you guys, I want to talk to you about BestDJInUtah.com. Why, that's the company that I have started for doing my DJing weddings and live events. Whatever you need, I am your guy to do it. So whether you're a lifer or a convert to this podcast show, or you just happen to be listening for the first time, if you are in need of a wedding DJ or an MC for your event or just a DJ for your business opening, go to bestdjinutah.com. Now, I know it says Utah, but guess what? If you want me to come to your event and you're not in Utah, I'll do that too. You're going to have to pay for me to be there, but I'm more than willing to do that as well. It's bestdjinutah.com. Emails there, phone numbers there. Would love to hear from you and then help you make your event that much better. Look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for supporting the Cultural Hall podcast. But it's a show. You knew that.
The Cultural Hall wants you to help Utah Food Bank fight hunger statewide. Through your donations of food, time, or money, Utah Food Bank is able to distribute over 31 million meals annually to Utahns facing hunger. Even a $1 donation can be turned into $7.35 of goods and services. One in five children in Utah could go to bed hungry tonight, and 423,000 Utahns are unsure where their next meal will come from. By donating food at your local pantry or by visiting utahfoodbank.org, you can make a difference.
Talk about Chicago. It's one of my favorite cities ever, and this is sort of an aside from the Cultural Hall, what we would normally talk about, but it is such an amazing artistic community that is so supportive to each other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And in fact, I moved out here to pursue playwriting more seriously. My collaborator, Leo Schwartz, he's the one who did the music and the lyric. He lives out here, and we have been pretty much writing back and forth and long distance working together with lots of Skype sessions and things like that. In fact, we met years and years ago in a theater chat room, if you remember chat rooms. And then I was writing, and we started collaborating. We've written a couple musicals together. In fact, we have another one that's going to be in the New York Musical Festival this summer.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. So super excited about that. But yeah, Chicago, you know, it's a huge theater town. It's number two after New York. And the, like you were saying, the arts scene out here is fantastic. I actually work at a designer toy store and art gallery.
Oh my gosh.
So I get to deal with a lot of visual artists really regularly. We have new exhibits every month. There are concerts galore. I've seen more concerts out here in the past 2 years than I had in the past, you know, 10 years back east. Mm-hmm. And obviously I've gone to tons of theater. I've been doing, you can't spit without having something to do out here.
Yeah.
So it's frustrating sometimes because there's just not enough time in the day to experience all of it. But yeah, it's fantastic. I love it.
Coming back to something you said earlier, you realize that now that you have said you don't see the missionaries very much, that you have essentially tempted the universe and that in the next week.
Oh, that's fine.
You will see them.
They are more than welcome to come on over.
I love the attitude too that your mom and I've heard that echoed from a lot of people, where they're just like, yeah, you know what, I want to take care of other people how I would hope that people would take care of my family that would be in a similar situation.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I will say the missionaries really enjoyed coming over to my place because, you know, I work in like a toy store and comic books everywhere. I'm like a big stupid kid, really.
Yeah. It's a pretty fascinating thing there. Are you north side or south side of Chicago?
North. I live in North Park.
Okay. So there on the north side, they just recently, within the last 6 to 9 months, finished a chapel there in it's just gorgeous. They used to meet in a school, like you sort of hear anecdotally growing up. But they used to meet in a school. It didn't have air conditioning. It was miserable. And now it's like a 4 or 5 story up on the 5th story of this building. There will eventually be another chapel when membership requires it. But it's just this gorgeous building. And I want to say it's off of Clark there on the north side. But the eclecticness of wards that you get out there are nothing like what you have here in the state of Utah.
Yeah, I believe that. I actually went there when I was getting props for the show. I had to get, we needed, I everybody has the soft cover Books of Mormon, but we needed the hard covers for the show.
Yeah, you tear right through a soft cover.
Yeah, definitely. You know how hard actors are on props.
Yeah. And I love that, too. You're like, so I'm a member and, you know, I mean, I'm not necessarily interested in coming back, but I'm doing a show and I need a hardbound copy of the book. They're like, testimony or no testimony? Would you like a testimony in the front of this or you just...
I actually drove out to the temple because they have like a Mormon shop because I had to get the missionary handbook. And while I was there, I got CTR rings for the cast and crew. Huh. So,
the old bendable ones that,
yep.
Yes.
I had to explain to them what the CTR ring was. I gave one to everybody in the cast and crew.
We're weird, aren't we?
Yeah.
I mean, just as a culture, as a group of individuals. And it's funny because, I mean, you talk about laps and everyone kind of gives themselves different titles, right? But especially here in Utah, my joke is that everyone here is a little bit Mormon in some way or another. Maybe you're, you know, the term Jack Mormon or that you're anti-Mormon or something. But you very much, there are these things that no matter how long it's been since you've been a part of the church or if you're still a part of the church, there are these words, these phrases, this terminology, all these things that you go, yeah, no, I know that you know that I know that you know, and we just have that sort of similar kind of thing.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the other thing that, you know, people, when they ask about, you know, what makes Mormon different from other religions, honestly, the thing that always sort of comes up is that Mormons are just so darn nice.
Yeah.
You know?
It's funny. It's funny for me to hear you talk about it, too, because in a way, I mean, you're essentially being a missionary to these people who know far less about the faith than you.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I thought about that that way.
I just think it's so fascinating, the whole thing. Hopefully, like we mentioned at the start of this thing, that people will have the opportunity to see the Book of Mormon here in the state of Utah. And I'm going to, Oprah, throw this out in the universe. Hopefully I'll have something to do with people's opportunity to be able to see it.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt that it will happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's surprising to me, honestly, that it hasn't already. But I'm sure that, you know, part of that, as you mentioned, is this is just barely coming to where it could even be available to be anywhere outside of kind of where.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to publish it and throw it out into the universe, but we literally just finished submitting all of the production materials that they required to get the show licensed.
A pretty big pain.
I mean, it's just it's a lot of stuff. It's a lot, like lots of proofreading and lots of, like I said, we just finished a demo recording here in Chicago. We wanted to do an off-Broadway cast recording, but we just didn't have the funds for it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe someday. But yeah, they require a lot of things. And so we had this whole checklist we had to go through. And I handled all of the script stuff. Leo handled all the music stuff. And then we tag-teamed on all of the other stuff. Like they wanted reviews and press releases and photographs of previous productions.
Wow.
All kinds of things, yeah.
Well, hopefully, like I alluded to, hopefully we can get it here in the state of Utah. Hopefully I can have some sort of involvement in making that possible and that we can do a follow-up one of these in person when you come out to see the show.
That would be fantastic. And if you need any help, you just let me know. I'll put in a good word for you.
Done. Done and done. Well, DC, that's the end of this. Unless there's something that we should know about the show that we have not yet talked about. Anything you want to throw out?
Oh, golly. I just hope that, like you said, I hope everybody gets a chance to see it because I think that they will be pleasantly surprised at some of the surprises in it.
And hopefully, I'm going to see, I have poked around a little bit on the internet. I wanted to include in this a little bit of, I guess it's sort of pirated audio, right? Just something so that people can go, what kind of music are they talking about? So hopefully I can find something that I can share within this.
Well, Leo did, like, a lot of the songs are really sort of flavored with original Ethel Merman tunes. Mm-hmm. So if you're an Ethel Merman fan, you're going to be like, oh. And if you're a Book of Mormon fan, you're going to be like, oh. And even if you're not, you're still going to enjoy it.
But, sure. And
yeah, definitely. It's really funny when the Ethel Merman fans are in the audience, because you can tell which ones they are from who laughs at certain jokes and things.
Well, let's wrap it up. DC, thank you so much for taking a few minutes. I know that it's probably not only late there, but also much colder there than it is here. I've been following the negative temperatures back in Chicago. So stay warm.
Yeah, we're back in the positives now, so that's a plus.
Wait a minute. What? In the positives? Forget it.
It's true.
We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body, and that if you're not healthy enough to listen this week, that you'll be healthy enough to listen next week, and that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you on the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat.